was worried about not getting here in the studio on time today. I got worried maybe I was going to get caught in traffic. You know, I got worried maybe if I got caught in traffic, I couldn't get here to the studio and then I would miss the program. And if I missed the program, I don't know what would happen. It'd be awful. The theme is worry, right? Come on now. Worry is something that is kind of universal. In fact, if worry wasn't a universal problem, there wouldn't be so many references to worry in the Bible. If it wasn't an issue, it wouldn't be an issue in Scripture. And I'll tell you what we're going to do today. In the next 28 minutes, we're going to unpack what is worry, where does it come from, what does the Bible have to say about it, and even more importantly, what specific things can you do and what people are doing to deal with worry in their life. I'm Dr. Randy, worried not so much, but here a little bit today. As we kind of go through this 28 minutes, and I want to make sure that what we do is biblical, helpful, practical, and all those things in 28 minutes. So I'll tell you what, I want to open the phone lines, and I just told Stephen, here's what I'm looking for. If this is something in your life that you've wrestled with, I want to know specifically, so you can help others who are listening, specifically what you do to deal with worry in your life as a Christian. And we're going to get in the Scripture, and I want you to know you're not alone. You look in the Bible, Moses worried about speaking to the leaders at the time. Martha, boy, Jesus even said to him, don't worry so much. Right? Jesus said to her, her anxiety about all preparing the meal and all the things, King Saul, King David, even Mary and Joseph worried about where Jesus was when he got lost. We think about Jonah, boy, he was upset a lot, Elijah. And I raised my hand. Jennifer did too. We raise our hands. This is something that I've wrestled with in my life too. And of course, we say things like, well, I'm just concerned, you know? And yet the Bible, listen, let's just lay it out here as we get started on the show today. The Apostle Paul, thanks, Paul, Philippians 4, don't worry about anything. You mean anything? Yeah, anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Powerful. All right. You're welcome to join us. What have you learned? One thing that's made a difference. Let's help each other in this challenge. I want you to hear this call from Gloria that came in some time ago. Because she's at one extreme, I think, of what worry can do in your life. Take a listen.
My name is Gloria. I'm calling about the program on worry and fear. And I'm so glad that Pastor Randy Carlson has said that he struggles with it. Because I do too, and I feel like it's a big stigma. If you ask people to pray for you because you're worried about something, and they say, well, why are you worried? You know, if you say you're anxious, or if you say you're fearful, and I say, well, God tells us not to do that, then I'm worried because why am I doing something that God tells me not to do? And I'm worried about what people think of me because I do worry. And then I worry because worrying means that maybe I'm not a good Christian. I worry about a lot of stuff. Also, I've been diagnosed with PTSD and with a panic attack, and I worry about what does that say about me as a Christian? Am I reading my Bible enough? Am I doing my scriptures enough? You know, should I be taking medication? What kind of medication? I just worry a lot, and I appreciate somebody addressing it and saying that Christians are human beings and that we are biological and that sometimes we need medication, and sometimes it's difficult not to worry with your background. Mm.
All right. Thank you. I think that's a great set for the show, Gloria, and I tell others, we got to just stop it. The Bible says take captive every thought out of obedience to Christ, and yet some, come on, and I've been down this trail, no matter what you tell yourself, that obsessiveness begins in your mind and starts to race, and your mind starts to race. And so I'm going to kind of put a dividing line here. There are some today, maybe you find yourself being more obsessive in your worry. It's really affecting your life, and you know it. I really encourage you to understand that God loves you. He cares for you. And there's help available to get to some of the issues. It might be biochemical. It might be from trauma, from the past. Lots of unresolved issues. You're going to find more freedom when you deal with some of these things. And for maybe the rest of us who find worry to come and go, maybe it's a little chronic at times, but more it could be situational. to understand that as Christians, when the Bible says we're not worry about nothing, that's what the Bible means. And I know that's difficult. But I want to just make a couple statements before we get to our calls. And by the way, I want to hear specifically what you do to help with worry in your life. 888-888-1717. Number one, if worry wasn't such a universal problem, there wouldn't be so many references to worry in the Bible. And I have about 10 scriptures here. I'll share some of them this hour that directly address worry, because worry is just a pervasive part of our fallenness as a human, as humans. Secondly, why is worry referenced as sin? When we think about it, we know that worry is a sin. Let's just call it for what it is. I have sinned with worry, and probably many of you have as well. And the real issue here is we're trust breakers, really. We're not trusting God. You know, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not on your own understanding, all your ways acknowledge Him, and then I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's where we get into trouble. No, it actually says, and then He'll direct your path. And so like you, those of us who like to control everything or we fear things, whatever, it can become an issue in our lives. And I think the purpose of the show today is God wants us to learn and act intentionally on this thing of worry. You can begin the process. Now, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, 1, very little worry, 10, you worry a lot. And if you're a 1 person today and you just don't worry about anything and you hear about some of the calls today, you're going to say, snap out of it. Be a better Christian. Come on now. We need to support each other, because some of us might be a 6, a 7, an 8 struggling with worry. Here's my goal. If you're an 8 today when it comes to worry, I want to help you move to become a 6. If you're a 6 to a 4 and a 4 to a 2, or if you're a 10, even if you can get down to 8, to begin the process to understand that God loves you and there is freedom, because this is really a thinking thing. It gets into our head and we allow worry to begin to dominate in our life. All right. One thing you do to deal with worry, 888-888-1717. Donna, welcome to the show. What have you learned?
Okay. Well, my husband and I have found that we worry a lot lately, because 5 days before Christmas last year, our house burned down.
Oh.
And so the house burning down has not been the issue. I mean, we lost just about everything. We had our lives, but we lost just about everything. But the issues have been insurance, finding contractors, you know, just all of the stuff that goes with it. That's been the real issue. And one of the things that we've found that helps us be able to go to bed and sleep at night, to be able to not have stomach problems, all the above, is that whenever something happens, we take care of it right away. And even if it's an email, if it is a phone call, a text, if we're wrong, if the other person's wrong, if something's going on, just be proactive about doing something about it right away. And that way you are not wallowing in your anxiety. Feel like you're doing something.
And that's been helpful to you?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we know worry is related to the distance from this moment in time. And so when you're dragging something from the past, something that's undone, it just kind of sits there.
Right.
You know, you're going to worry about it. Like when you get it marked off the checklist. I think the other thing probably isn't it also true, if you know you got a problem and you're dealing with it, but even if you don't solve it, you're keeping current with where the status is, which is helpful because you're not speculating. You know exactly what the status is on the
right.
problem. Yeah. How is it going
even
for
if
you?
It's not a good status.
Yeah, exactly.
At least you know what's going on.
Exactly.
Well, we finally found a contractor that we are really happy with. And, you know, it's been months since our house burned down. And that's been one of the worries, is that, you know, our insurance is really wanting us to come up with a plan, and with the price of a building.
Yeah.
And not everybody is really wanting to get out there and build. For some reason, we were just having a hard time finding a contractor that would help us. And so we found one.
Good.
And things are going well. And our church has been so awesome to us. I don't know what we would have done without them.
What have you learned about life? What have you learned about your marriage, about family, about values? 99% of people listening never have their house burned down. But it's one of those fears, I guess, we all have, losing everything. What have you learned from this?
My husband and I both know that we cannot do any of this without each other and without God. We are so grateful that we lived, and we got all of our animals out, and our marriage has actually grown stronger since then. We don't take things so seriously now as far as everything going on in the world. That stuff was put on the back burner because something real happened.
Yeah.
Something real happened.
That's right.
And it just taught us some priorities, that we are what matters. Our family, the family that takes care of us, our church family. It's been an eye-opener.
Yeah, it is. And it, what you've done is you're learning from it. And that's why I wanted you to share, because we can learn from you too. I think Donna reminds us that sometimes we worry about the things that are really never going to happen, or the things that are not that important. Come on. And then later something else happens. And what did the Bible say? There's enough worries about tomorrow that we should just worry about today, or live today, right? And so many of us, the further we get in the past or in the future, that's where anxiety and worry really increases. Hey, I want you to listen to this call. I talked to Brian in Arizona a couple years ago, and he had a real reason to worry when you think about it. I want you to hear what they did 2 years ago, and then after the break, I'm going to have Brian on live, and you're going to hear the follow-up from what he decided to do 2 years ago to where he is today. Listen to Brian.
Oh, man, I've learned so much over this past couple years, but mainly in this last year. My 4-year-old son was diagnosed with leukemia on his 4th birthday.
Oh.
And we are now a year in. He turned 5 this past Friday. And the stress and worry and anxiety that comes along with childhood cancer is just unreal. I think a lot of people's first instinct is to look for someone to blame in these type of situations. And my first instinct was to thank God and to look to him just with thanks. He made sure we found it when we did and got us in with a great team of doctors. And I'm so thankful. It's made our faith just so much stronger than it's ever been. And, you know, it's made my family stronger, and we're in the middle of the storm now. My son's doing great, and we may not understand why right now these things have happened, but I'm very confident that the Lord's going to reveal in the future why, and it's going to be a positive thing for sure. You know, I can recall times where, you know, the chemo was affecting him, making him very nauseous, and just sitting at dinner, you know, he's unable to eat and not feeling well, and I would have to step away, and I would go to my closet and just cry and pray. And to be honest, so many times I would come back out and he would say, "Dad, I'm ready to eat." And he would eat, and it just unbelievable the way that God works. I'm just so thankful for everything. You know, I could easily be upset or, you know, try to blame something or someone, but I can't bring myself to do that. I'm just so thankful. And I found myself throughout this past year, instead of constantly praying to ask for things, I find myself praying to be thankful, and thankful for so many little things.
That was 2023. You're going to hear Brian live, and we're going to hear what happened in about 2 minutes.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for just listening to me and helping my heart today. Hey, I want to tell you something that you need to hear because of what you do, and you're like Paul Harvey. You get the rest of the story. I've been listening to you for a long time, and I tell everybody this, and I tell everybody listening to your show that you've made me a better husband, better father, a better friend, a better neighbor, a better human being, you and Dr. Lehman and the people that you have on, that you have just, through God, strengthened me, and I am such a better person today because of your show. So please keep doing what you do.
And we will, man. Thank you so much. We're talking about the worry and anxiety today and what the Bible has to say. As Corrie ten Boom said, worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today of its joy. And boy, is that true. The psalmist said, Psalm 37, don't give in to worry or anger. It only leads to trouble. Boy, there's some truth to that, too. You just heard the story from 2023. Brian's four-year-old son, leukemia, cancer. Got a reason to worry. Got a reason to be angry and concerned and anything else. Come on, dads. We know. We like to fix things. And Stephen got a hold of Brian because we wanted to find out what was going on. And Brian is on line one from Arizona. Hi, Brian. How are you today?
Hey, Randy. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, appreciate your allowing us to talk to you live today. You just heard yourself from 2023. What did you experience listening to what you just said?
Just honestly how much I've grown in my faith since that moment. You know, the last time we spoke on air, we were in the thick of my son's treatment, and today I'm very blessed to say that he's cancer-free.
Amen.
We celebrated the end of his treatment back in February. You know, he rang the bell, and we're moving forward. All praise to God for his healing power. You know, he truly hears our prayers. He erased all my worry and anxiety. You know, honestly, it was before the end of his treatment. I started to feel that relief. Amen. And now I'm just so thankful. You know, I learned along the way, you know, we got to pray to give thanks during good times, not just ask for God to, you know, work miracles like a genie in a bottle when we're in need. You know, pray through the good, through the bad. You know, everybody prays when the plane's going down or when your back's against the wall. But you really need to, you know, give thanks when things are going good just as much. And, you know, ask for that guidance that you need in the hard times. All things are possible through our Lord and Savior. You know, we put our burdens at his feet, and he hears us. He wants us to, you know, have a consistent, long-term relationship with him, not just sporadically through your hard times in life. My family and I have grown so much in our faith through my son's long cancer treatment, and we're closer to God than we've ever been. It's brought us closer together as a family. We don't stress over the small, worldly things anymore. We look at the bigger picture.
Two things. I want to ask you two tough questions, Brian.
Yeah.
First of all, you said it 2 years ago, and the statement you just heard, maybe down the road in a few years, I'll know why. You look back on that now. What do you think the why, the answer to that, why this happened?
A, you know, to bring us closer to God and grow in our faith. You know, it just kind of happened organically because of the situation that we were in. You know, we didn't choose to be in that situation. And, you know, looking back, not only has it brought us closer to God, but it's brought us closer to family. And it's things into perspective in a way that we never would have seen if we hadn't, you know, had my son go through this treatment.
You talked a lot at the time about being thankful, gratitude, even in the midst when you were in the middle of the storm. I guess the second question is, if today we were talking and the story was a little bit different than this great, fantastic story we're hearing, would you still believe? Would you still be thankful? Would you still be where you are today, do you think?
Absolutely. 100% I would be. During some of my prayers and conversation with God, you know, I made it clear that I'm dedicated to giving my life to him no matter what happens.
Yeah.
And he heard me. Yeah, he definitely heard me. And my son's a walking testimony of God's grace, mercy, love, and his faithfulness to us.
Mm. Someone's listening, Brian, and they have a great worry or concern, and maybe it's about health, something they just don't understand. If you were to give them one piece of advice, one thing from your experience, what would it be?
Pray about it. Talk to God. Not only talk to ask for something, but be still and wait and listen. He will talk to you. He will give you a sign in some way. He will encourage you. He will push you in the right direction. And, you put your faith in God and his son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, watch him work, watch him move mountains. You have to have faith and really trust and believe that his will for us is good, pleasing and perfect. And then nothing will change that.
Amen. Brian, my friend, and the best to you and your son, Nico, and to your family, and congratulations and for helping a lot of people today as well.
Indecision. We've all experienced it. You have to make a choice, but you don't know which way to go.
Yes and no really are intentional words. They're powerful, they're directive, they're clarifying, they're energizing. Any number of choices come down to the intentional living power of saying yes or no.
In Dr. Randy's teaching, The Power of Yes or No, you'll learn to move past indecision and effectively navigate life's tough choices by living an intentional life and saying yes to the things that matter. When you say yes to supporting intentional living with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, by the way, we appreciate your support. You're standing with us. You're making a difference. You're allowing us to reach people with a message of intentional living. There, we look at it this way. There's only about three ways we can choose to live as followers of Christ. Either in a good-intentioned world, that bucket is filled with a lot of regret because of procrastination and hope-so kind of living. Or we can be a non-intentional person, which means we jump from one thing to another, maybe successful and busy, but exhausted and weary in terms of wondering, where is all this taking me? And intentional living simply is this. You know, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him, and then he will direct our path. And that is intentional living. There's one group of people, we're talking about worry today, and the Bible says to Christians that we ought not worry. But there's one group of people today who should. And I'm going to tell you who they are in just a moment.
I was listening to your program, and I heard about worry. I'm one of the biggest worriers, so it was really neat to hear. Something I've been learning lately is just to be thankful. I had a medical condition that I came down with recently. I've had to take some drastic measures to readjust my life and my eating and the way I live in order to fix this problem. And I've noticed that just being thankful really adjusts my attitude and the worry that comes with it and what my outcome's going to be and what I'm going to look like in a year. It's just being thankful. Lord, thank you for the food. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for just everything and anything, and complimenting people and talking to people. And just having that kind, soft heart really helps alleviate my worry and the stress that comes with, I don't know, just living in these times, and also just life. All of life is pretty stressful. So thank you for your program. It's been very helpful. I enjoy listening.
Thank you, Hillary. Thankfulness. Hey, listen, we got so many more calls that we want to get to. We're going to continue on and just record the show that will air a week from now, next Monday, on this topic of worry. And with some really practical advice, we'll get to that in a moment. Now, I said before the break, there's one group of people that should worry. What's interesting is yesterday, our pastor, Pastor Craig, his sermon was on worry. I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting because we planned this show a couple weeks ago and here we are talking about the same thing. And he made a statement halfway, I think, through the sermon. He said, hey, listen, we're talking about as Christians not to worry, but if you're not a follower of Christ, if you haven't given your life to him, then you need to worry. And he said, I don't want to be unkind, but that's a reality because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I would say that once we become a follower of Christ, we are empowered with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean the worry is going to instantly disappear, but now you have that power in your life to make a difference and apply some of these things you're hearing today and every day on our program on how to live intentionally. So I want to say on behalf of myself, my family, our team, and certainly all of our supporters who are praying in this very moment that you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, with this moment, say, I'm done with the worry. I worry about things I can't control. I can't do this myself. I'm beyond my own capacity here, way big time. And turn to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I turn to you. I ask you to come into my life today. I give my life to you. The Bible says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. Not anything you can do. You can't be intentional enough on your own to get into heaven. It's only because of God's intentional love for you. If you made that decision today, we have some material online. We have a booklet there on your first one thing. I encourage you to look for it. Let our staff know or talk to one of our chaplains when you call 888-888-1717. You can find out more about that or go to our website and find access to our chaplaincy program. We want to pray with you. We love you and we want the best for you. And that's why intentional living is here. That's why we exist. Now, while worry is a pervasive problem and the Bible gives us answers and direction for it, I say to those of you today who are followers of Christ and you worry and you know you struggle with this, God loves you. And like a loving father, he just wants us to continue to move toward greater obedience or intentional living. So he gets the glory and we get the benefit. The trickle down is huge into our lives and our family. And so I'm going to leave the phone lines open. We're going to take some more calls and we're going to record those for next week. And the question simply is this: what's one practical thing that you've learned about dealing with worry in your life? 888-888-1717. Hope you'll join us tomorrow. It is Veterans Day. And I say thanks to each of you who are veterans and your service to the country. We have been a family of service all the way back on one line of our family to the Revolutionary War. One of my great-great-great-grandfathers, Captain Nathaniel White, served in the Revolutionary War. And so throughout all of history, men and women of service, and I appreciate those in our family who have done that. And we appreciate those of you who are doing that now and those of you who have in the past and our veterans. Thank you for your service to the country. We'll be back tomorrow on Veterans Day and have another great show for you. We love you guys. Thank you for your prayers. Thanks for standing with us. Thanks for supporting the ministry. God bless you. More intentional living next time from Intentional Life Media. See you then.